Well, it's good to be able to talk with you again tonight. But it's good to have a chance to talk with you every time that we talk to you by phone or whether we talk to you in person. And talking to you over the phone brings it to my mind that Chuck has been diligent toward the phone system. And he has sent out letters to the different churches that's wanting us to talk to them by phone. So it makes it to where we'll be able to talk to them right directly from the sanctuary. And they got it to where they can hook up quite a number of churches to it. But anyway, it's good to talk with you again, and we just have come from what they call the Father's house. And they've been putting the carpet down, and they got quite a bit of it down. As a matter of fact, they went like a whirlwind. Probably tomorrow, within a couple hours or so, they'll have the whole building pretty well finished, except several rooms at the top, and they're going to try to get it and put it in, and that'll finish it up. And with some minor things that we have to do otherwise, the ladies will just about be ready to move into it as to the international affairs operation. And, of course, it won't be open to, you know, everybody like the multipurpose building is. But, of course, the multipurpose building is not supposed to be open to everybody like it is. It just kind of, some just kind of took advantage down there, you know. And later on, we'll have to do something about that. But down there, there will be those that will belong to the operation there and the international affairs, and they'll be going in and out and be in their own offices there and taking care of the work of the Lord, which to me will be a real thrill because we've been working on that building for quite a number of years. And, you know, everything has fell in line just exactly the way that we felt that it would. I hope you don't mind me just taking a few minutes tonight just to discuss one or two little things with you. But anyway, I had felt of a certainty that the electrical would be put in the building at the same time that the carpet was put in the building. And I watched carefully, and I felt like that it might move toward the middle of this week. And it did. It fell on a Thursday, which is exactly the middle of the week. I know Wednesday is the middle of the week as to the 5 days, but Thursday is the middle of the week as to the 7. And it fell right in the middle of the week on a Thursday, and the carpet, which had been held up, all of a sudden we got it in immediately following the electrical. They put the electrical in. We use the terms now as come power. And all this time we've been hindered, and I knew that the Lord was allowing it because the building had a certain significance, spiritually speaking, and because of that, it couldn't go into operation until a certain time, and that the electrical being symbolic of the light, that's when Solomon dedicated the temple and the glory of God filled the temple, being symbolic of the light, that that would be the power coming into the church, or that is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that's called the Father's house, and the body of Jesus was the Father's house, the full measure of the full power. So then, coming in, I watched it. It was real outstanding, just allegorically speaking. You know, God has chosen the foolish things and the simple things to confound the wise. And I watched as they lifted the man up in the lift that they have, where they lift him up on the pole. And, you know, years ago it was that a telephone pole looked like a cross, and it symbolizes a cross. It was put there for that reason. God doing everything with a significance. And I noticed as he was lifted up, in the lift up to the power unit, that it was very obvious that, as we say, the catching up of the man-child, and now it's come power. Just as quick as he got up there, he made the connection, and of course, light flooded the building. So at the same time, then came the carpet, and the carpet had great significance because the carpet was called the First Lady. I've never heard of carpet being called that before, but it's a beautiful red carpet, and it's called the First Lady. And not only that, but it has another reference as to rich wine. And, you know, we thought about the best wine for the last, and then the First Lady. And when I say those things, it would take a lot of explanation to be able to detail those things to where you can understand it. But you that are spiritual, the Bible said he that is spiritual, he understands all things, he judges all things. And Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, because God is a spirit, Jesus said to the one at the well. So then it is obvious that these things that we're saying are very allegoric. When you say First Lady, you are speaking of a government. America was called the First Lady. And, of course, the Bible calls the church the elect lady. So then, having to do with the church or the church ages, America was referred to as the First Lady. That is to say, Martha, which was Washington's wife, showed us the First Ladies to the Father of our country. Then it has been that way ever since, until the Clinton administration, when I understand that the woman that came in said she did not want to be a lady, and Mr. Bush's wife, who wanted to be a lady, went out, which indicated the government being over. And as Sister Betty has said, starting with the one, the name as it was of the father of the country, and ending with the same name, and then all of a sudden the corruption came in. So then from that, we see the fall of the government. It has been falling, and the sodomy has come in, and it's really caused a problem. Well, that means that the caring period of the child is at an end, and that Billy Graham also showed that as to the child of America, America's son, he was referred to, and the woman carrying the child, it indicated the maturity of the child and the child reaching his ultimatum. And sure enough, they gave unto Billy, I understand they gave unto Billy, a Congressional Medal of Honor, which, you know, you just don't get things like that when it comes to the ministry. That was a special thing for people that was in war and whatever. But somehow or another, they gave that to him, and it indicated an ultimatum of his ministry and the caring of the child, that the woman had birthed the child, and that these things were happening. Sure enough, during the administration of Mr. Carter, this thing about the man from China coming in, having to do with the dragon, how being a killer like he was, he came here. And when we saw the child being caught up to the throne, the dragon lay right in there to devour the child just as quick as it was caught up, just before it was caught up, that is, just as quick as it was born, laid in there to devour it. And we've made reference to that, of how that in the church world, the blood life, which has to do with the red dragon and the fall through Adam as in Adam all die, the blood life that Jesus stopped at Calvary when he started the spiritual life, getting rid of the serpent or the red dragon. Of course, we don't have time to detail these things, so we have to hurry through them, and it makes it very difficult to be able to get these things over when you do that. But nevertheless, that as to the red dragon going out, ending the red dragon, casting out is Revelation 12. We see that with the thing that happened as to the fall of the government. At the same time, it was that the woman had her feet on the moon. And we see that with America, the woman being caught up to the moon, and then the footprints on the moon emphasized, showing that the time of the dragon coming, that there was a birth that was coming in. So we see this in a religious perspective, and we also see this in a natural perspective as to the governmental affairs. And as I say, it would take a lot of detail to be able to bring it to light. But I'm only saying those things to say that with the fall of the government out in the natural side of life, then the spiritual government is beginning to come in. We had it set up here with Mr. Washington as separation of church and state, and the state has literally trampled the church, just walked over it. But God has let the carrying period go right along, because when the woman is carrying the child, many times the man will back off and he will human, he will just do whatever he can to see that she has what she wants and let her have her way to keep her from marking that child. You know, the old beast mark is to mark the child. And that body being in the beast image, it can mark the child. And God let that happen to spiritually show us that the church, while it is carrying the child, as the church world, like America, all the church ages during this time, that God gives a lot of leeway to the woman. When the child is born, then he commands her to be purified and to come back to her place under subjection to the male and to the leader. And, of course, that goes into a lot of revelation concerning Calvary, concerning the fall. But nevertheless, we see all of these things shaping up right here, and the government of the natural going down, the carrying period of the woman being over, and all of a sudden now the church government is beginning to come in to bring to pass what the Bible speaks of in Revelation 11:15, when the last trumpet sounded, the mysteries of God finished in Revelation 10:7. And then all of a sudden we see this coming to pass to show that the government of the church is beginning to come into power, which is the sons of God, our sonship. As the other government begins to fall, then the new government begins to come into power, that the kingdoms of this world might become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. This building that we're dedicating shows that. I'd gone into that building while no one was there on one day, just before the power came into it, and made a dedication. As I said, the temple being dedicated, then all of a sudden the train of the Lord filled the temple. And then somebody following that had a dream that the church and this building that we're speaking of had become interwoven and become a oneness. And, of course, there's just so many multiplied things that we have detailed to the brethren at one time or another as little things of significance that has to do with the building, that shows why that the building as an international affair building is just now beginning to come to surface to the extent of dedication and use, God holding it up all this time. And the devastation of the tornado that came and tore the courthouse up and tore the city up and moved different ones out that was in opposition to us, and the different ones that died as to the lawman that was opposing us out here. It showed the old government going out, especially in this area where there is a number of governors in this area, or where they signed those documents back years ago, and the governor coming down to the funeral of the sheriff when the sheriff went out. And then all of a sudden here comes one of the new ones running for the sheriff's office, along with one of the policemen that all the brethren have found favor with out here. And they come out here as if to say, now the old law is gone out and the new law is here for you to indoctrinate them according to the way you want to set up the new government. For new government, of course, has to do again with the law. For law is government. That is the power of constraint. So then it's really fascinating to see the way that God works and the simplicities of life and how that he gradually fits everything together to make it beautiful to where we can truthfully say that God is a present help in the time of need. And though we don't say a whole lot to the church about these kind of things as a present day truth, the reason is because we do not have the time to detail it. It takes hours to carefully detail it to where it will be of interest to the people and to where they can grasp what we're seeing to see the pictorial side of it. So because of that reason, we don't try to tell them anything about it. We just kind of let these things go, and then we'll have a few brethren from time to time that we have time to talk with and indoctrinate them in part as to one part to this group and another and another, and after a while, we finally get the picture over to them and the puzzle is put together. But it's so wonderful to know even a little bit of these things in a sporadic manner to where God can feed you and your mind can feed off of these things and put them together, because as you do, it becomes exciting and alive, and it becomes a present-day truth, a living revelation of this hour. And as the Bible said, the present-day truth that actually comes to you and begins to thrill your soul to the extent that it makes life worth living when it comes to living a Christian life. And more it abounds, and the bigger and bigger it gets, the more thrilled you are as you begin to see what's really going on in the world of spirit. So then, in these things, as we talk to you, just in fragmental form, we ask you to give the morningest heed to these things and consider them, because it is the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. For the Bible says, it is not given unto the world to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it is given, and that God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made them revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn, and that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. And when we talk like this, you know, we go all the way back to Paul's teaching as to the Revelator and the one that was called Christ in the earth. And we look at the time when he said Sarah and Hagar, being just plain women of that day. And, you know, looking back at the women of old, you would not have seen anything in their lives other than that they were just housewives, as we say, or just raising a family. But when Paul saw it, when he looked back at it, he said, Sarah, who was the New Jerusalem, and Hagar, which answers to Old Jerusalem, who is now in powers of that day, and is in bondage with her children, for she answereth unto Mount Sinai, which now is in his bondage with her children. And he spoke of these women being symbols or symbolic of two great mighty cities, one a heavenly city and one an earthly city, and of their sons being as of the sea. So that means that these things are highly allegoric, and there is nothing that is without significance. The Bible said, in the heavens declare his handiwork, and the earth is full of the knowledge of God. But we have to unveil it and unravel it or look into it, and the Old Testament will come alive. It will come alive. Paul said there is a veil over the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. And when he spoke of this veil, he spoke of the veil over Moses' face, and he said, in this glory, as that of which was to be done away with, said, and this last glory being the glory of the latter house, as to the Christian, as to Christ's body, is greater than that of the former house of Moses' body or that of the church in the wilderness. And this glory that came, even as a veil over Moses' face, said, and this was to be done away with, so that the greater glory might come. Well, that is to say, there would come a time at Calvary when the veil would be rent, and that is to say that the body itself would be taken away from the spirit. For the veil was rent in twain. The veil of the temple was rent in twain, and your body is the temple of the Lord. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body. And so then the veil that was taken away was the intellectual veil of death that was that that fell over the mind of Adam and Eve in the garden when the Lord said concerning the tree of knowledge, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that veil continued over their face until it was revealed in the days of Moses. And then it was spoken of by Paul that that veil was over the minds of the people and that it had to be destroyed. And with this wonderful light of transformation of mind, as to the day start dawning within you, the glory of God from glory to glory, the eradication of that mind of infiltration, which is Lucifer and iniquity, is completely eradicated, that the light might fill the temple. And when the light fills the temple, Satan is cast out, and the word of life begins to come in, and now is come power. And so then Calvary shows us Revelation 12, where the battle is in heaven, and in the heavenlies, where the Lord casts his Satan out, saying, "And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven," which means the battle of Calvary, that there he done away with the blood life of the old red dragon, or what's referred to as those on their belly, the generation of serpents. And so then he cut it off right there, and the Jews going out indicated that as with the Gentiles. So then that means in doing away with that, it's shown in Revelation, as the book of Revelation in the sixth chapter, and it begins to show the heavens departing as a scroll, and it begins to show the stars falling from heaven, indicating again the Jews as to the former heavens, and as the Bible said, and the heavens shall pass away, and the earth shall pass away, and the sea shall pass away, and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, which indicates the coming in of the church. And the true stars, which are not wandering stars, as to reflect this, as it would be the moon realm as to the stone age, and that the moon is a stone, and that means the law. The law indicated the stone age. For I will take out of you the heart of stone, place within you the heart of flesh. That is to say, I will put my own heart in you and make you my heart, my flesh, my bone. Put a heart of flesh within you and write my laws upon the table of your heart. It was set at the tomb, and the stone has been rolled away, and then came the resurrected Christ. So then we realize that through these things are much to be said, hundreds and thousands of things of revelation to be brought about. We see here that the light of the latter house coming fills the temple, and with this light now has come power. For it is said there, when he cast his Satan out, then it is said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. For when ye receive the Holy Ghost, ye shall receive power. And so I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, which is the Spirit of Christ within you, the hope of that glory of God. And without Christ, you have no hope of that glory of God, for he is heir along to the glory of God. So then we see now has come power, because now has come revelational light. And this natural house down here on the campground indicates the time period. There's waypoints of life, and there are time elements that are involved. And this time element shows that this particular time, with the first lady coming in, the new government, and it shows with the light coming in, now has come power. And with the building finished to get an occupancy, now is the time to be able to occupy the new body for the change of immortality, that now the change is at hand. The church age is coming to an end. The carrying period of the woman is over. The government shifting back to Israel, even as I said concerning the Olympics. The law would go over there to be trained for the Olympics right out of Atlanta, Georgia. And as it shifts over there, it indicates the government going back, and it'll have to pass through the tribulation period. And then after that, Christ will become the head of that government, and we will return ourselves after the tribulation period to help the Jews set up the government as an earthly government, and the Lord sitting upon the throne with the 12, and the government and the laws will be set up for the new world. So then we see that everything is getting closer and closer at hand, and these things that I'm seeing are so hurriedly and so sporadic, it would be very difficult to fit them together. But if you'll take these things and work with them and ask God to help you, he will open your mind and your understanding in such a way that you'll be thrilled beyond measure as you really get into what is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't mean to take so long there and just trying to explain a few things, but I hope that what little we said might stir your interest at least to a concern to where you'll begin to dig into these things, and as the deep calleth unto the deep of the water spout of God, you'll begin to be partakers of the divine mysteries that the Lord said that you have a right to. May the Lord bless you, and I'm going to let you go kind of early and not hold you very long tonight. I thank you for your interest and for listening, and may the Lord bless you.